How do you make money off of people in this dark world? You sell their bodies. Human trafficking. Yeah, this is when the darkness gets so deep. And I got to tell you, people, if you ever turn on the news, the real news, and see how much human trafficking is going on, this world is ready to be judged. The darkness. I believe this is a reference that people, these powerful people making money off of the souls of people, young children. You have to say what? Come, Lord, quickly, us. This world needs to be judged.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast of Calvary Chapel Echo Park here in Los Angeles, California. We are a small fellowship of diverse believers who want to serve our Lord and do His will. You can find out more about our fellowship at ccechopark.com. Join us for a live stream on Sunday in the New Testament and Wednesday evenings in the Old Testament. Now let's get into the Word of God in our weekly podcast. The teaching is from Pastor David Higa and will be the study of the revelation of Jesus Christ and the book of Revelation.
All right, Revelation 18 verse 1 says, "After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory." Verse 2, "And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird." Verse 3, "For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury." Verse 4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works in the cup which she has mixed double for her. Verse 7, "In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Verse 8, therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her." Verse 9, "The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, the purple and purple silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men." Verse 14. "The fruit of your soul longed for, the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all." Verse 15, "The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance." Verse 18, "And cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What is like the great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in one hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." Verse 21. "Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. Verse 22, the sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore, and the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and of all who were slain on the earth. Okay, so Revelation 17 is judgment on spiritual Babylon. Revelation 18 is judgment on physical Babylon. Spiritual Babylon, remember it's described by the woman which rides this beast, the scarlet woman, right? Remember in Revelation 17, verse 5, it says, and on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And then it says, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Okay, so this woman represents spiritual Babylon. All the different pagan religions, right, that have basically tried to destroy all the different saints of the one true living God. And that's what's being described. It says that this woman, she got drunk with the blood of the saints. And so when we look at spiritual Babylon, remember we went all the way back to Genesis chapter 10, when Babylon was first built. Who was Babylon? Who was the one who built Babylon? Well, it was Noah's grandson, a man named by Nimrod. Remember Nimrod in Genesis 10? He's the one that built the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. And remember, we cross-referenced that last week. And so the Tower of Babel was their attempt to reach up to the heavens. It was one language, right? It was one government, and they wanted one world religion to reach up to the heavens. And what did God do? He separated them by language. Okay, so we see all the way back there, that's the influence of Babylon. It speaks of this world today. And I don't know if you ever turned on the news today, right? That's what we see, a one world religion or a push for that, and a one world government, a push for that as well. And so we see how the spiritual Babylon fuels the physical Babylon. And so in Revelation 17, this woman, when she's over the beast, right, the beast is Antichrist and his kingdom. And so she's ruling over the beast in that she's amassing this one world religion, this ecumenical movement, right? And it's to amass this power so that at the abomination of desolation, Antichrist is going to want to be worshipped as God. He's going to turn that worship, that one world religion, to all these multiple gods, to worship of himself. And so that's why we see Revelation 17, the chronology is in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. First 3.5 years of the tribulation, it ends with the abomination of desolation. That's when Antichrist comes into the temple and wants to be worshipped as God. At that point, he's going to put an end to the woman, which represents this whole ecumenical movement, all ways lead to heaven. And he's going to say, I'm going to put away of that. Now you worship me. And that's why in Revelation 17, verse 16, it says, and the 10 horns, which you saw on the beast, which would be Antichrist and his power, his government there. He says, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So it's the 10 horns of the Antichrist and his kingdom that are going to devour this one world religion. And so these 10 horns are 10 leaders that we believe are going to come out of Antichrist's government. It could be the revived Roman Empire, right? And so these 10 kings are going to put a stop to the woman, this one world religion, and they're going to say, now you have to worship Antichrist. And that's the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, okay? So we see that spiritual Babylon is judged in that first 3.5 years, culminating in the abomination of desolation. But we also have physical Babylon being judged. And that happens in the latter 3.5 years of the tribulation, which is known as the Great Tribulation. So that begins right at the abomination of desolation. And it takes us right to the end when Jesus returns. And that's the harvest, the grain harvest in Revelation 14. And so Revelation 18 gives us details into that judgment. right? And it's mainly describing the seven bowls of judgment, which we're going to see as we go into the parts here. Because remember, we noticed the seven bowls of judgment, they take us right to the end. But remember, it's more powerful, these judgments, and they happen more quickly. It could be happening also in a day, as we're going to see. Could be these seven bowls of judgment. But their judgment on physical Babylon, which entails the commercial, political, and the economical aspects of this world. That's going to be judged, and then Jesus is going to return at the Battle of Armageddon, okay? So that's kind of how this is put together. Hopefully, kind of you can connect the dots with this parenthetical, giving us details on how these two parts of this world is going to be judged. The spiritual part, Revelation 17, and then also the physical part in Revelation 18, all right? All right, so with that, let's start to look at the parts here. Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. John records this, after these things, I saw another angel. This would be another of the same kind. So the similar angel that revealed this judgment on spiritual Babylon in Revelation 17 is another angel of the same kind. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. Now, I want to note to this, when it says after these things, if you look this up in a concordance, you look this up in the Greek text, it says meta tauta. Not that you have to know what that really means, but if you were coming to our study of Revelation, when we were covering Revelation 3 on into Revelation 4, actually, when we studied Revelation 4, Revelation 4 begins with these same words, after these things, meta tauta. Now, the reason I mark this too, because the transition between Revelation 3 and Revelation 4 is the church on this earth and the church in heaven. So what is happening between Revelation 3 and 4? It's the rapture of the church. So remember, Revelation chapters 2 and 3 are the seven letters to the seven churches. The church is today, right, on this earth. But in Revelation 4, we see the church in heaven. So the rapture has occurred between the two. But it begins in Revelation 4, meta tauta, after these things. This is a significant after these things. The church is translated into heaven. I mark that too because this is the same words here, meta tauta, after these things between Revelation 17 and 18. And the reason I want to draw this to your attention is because there's, I believe, a substantial pause between judgment upon spiritual Babylon and judgment upon physical Babylon. As I mentioned, Revelation 17 happens in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. This false religion, this one ecumenical movement, right? That we're going to see come into play in the first 3.5 years, and that's going to be judged when Antichrist comes into the temple and wants to be worshiped as God. And so remember, we noted this in the first horseman of the apocalypse. This one comes riding on a white horse. Remember that? It looks just like the Christ, because Jesus Christ is going to come in on a white horse in Revelation 19. But remember, we noted that this was the Antichrist. He comes with a bow without any arrows. So he comes to conquer this earth, but it's not through war. Not at that point, right? He's amassing a following. He's going to come as a false peace, an Antichrist. Remember, we notice Antichrist means not only against Christ, but a counterfeit. He's going to look just like the real. He's even going to dupe Israel. Israel's going to think he's the Messiah. And so this is how he's going to amass all his following. It's going to be through this one world religion. And that's why the woman in Revelation 17 is controlling the beast. Through this one world religion, it's giving the beast its following. And that's in the first 3.5 years. That's going to stop at the abomination of desolation. And so when it says after these things in chapter 18, verse 1, there's a significant pause in the judgment, right? The judgment of spiritual Babylon, this significant pause after these things, meta tauta. Now there's the judgment of physical Babylon, which mostly is in the latter part of the Great Tribulation, just before Jesus returns. But it starts right there at the abomination of desolation, the last 3.5 years, okay? So after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. Now, it's interesting, illuminated. So this angel comes down in this description, and he illuminates, right, the earth with his glory. Now, I want to note this too. Remember in the fifth bowl judgment, if you turn back with me to Revelation chapter 16, that's where it lists all seven bowls of judgment. Remember I said the ones we want to kind of pay attention to more significantly because it gives us understanding what's happening in terms of the sequence of events is the fifth, sixth, and seventh bowl of judgment. Now, notice the fifth bowl of judgment says here, says verse 10, chapter 16, then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. And his kingdom became full of darkness. And so the throne of the beast is this world. And so think about it. It became full of darkness. And then this angel, this glorious angel, right? He illuminates the earth. Talk about a contrast. And that's oftentimes how the Lord reveals himself. The darkness of this world, the light comes in, right? And so this contrast. And so in Revelation 18, we read, it says that this other angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated. I put this together that in that fifth bowl of judgment, the earth is darkened through the fifth bowl of judgment. But then now, this angel comes, and he comes, and he illuminates the earth with his glory. Now, verse 2 says, and he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison, for every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Okay, so notice it underscores Babylon. Babylon the great has fallen. It doesn't say it once, it says it twice. Now, again, this could be literally the city Babylon. Now, right now, we don't see anything significant there, right? In terms of a world power, Babylon, right? But it could happen in the tribulation. Maybe Antichrist will establish Babylon as a major center again. It could happen. But you know, when you read this text as a whole, it's really speaking more than Babylon. It's speaking of the world. And as I mentioned, as you go all the way back to Genesis 10, what has fueled this world is basically what happened in Babylon. When Nimrod built Babylon, right? And we noted this, that his wife Semiramis, she is the one that began all this false religion. And we see how this proliferates through the history of mankind there. And so the origins of this darkness come back all the way there in Genesis chapter 10 as Babylon is constructed physically and spiritually, okay? So this, I believe, even though it could be the city Babylon, it's speaking more than that. It's speaking of this world. And so he's saying that this world has fallen and everything about it. And again, Revelation 18 is speaking about this world commercially, politically, and economically. So all the physical aspects of this world are going to be judged in this time. Okay, now verse 3 says, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. So notice the reference to fornication and becoming drunk. Drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So remember we likened this last week, the whole aspect of likening adultery, right? Fornication, adultery with worshiping pagan gods. And so this is what's being described here, right? That this false religion, right, it's joining this world to false gods. And they become drunk with, you become drunk with the darkness. You can see this. They become addicted to the darkness, addicted to things that are of these false deities, right? And so this is what is being described. And notice it says, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through them. And so when you look at this earth, right, the darkness of this earth spiritually is fueling, right, the darkness of this earth physically. All the money, the political realm, right? A lot of it is embedded in spiritual darkness. And so we see this kind of going hand in hand. That's why judgment on spiritual Babylon goes hand in hand with judgment on physical Babylon. That's what we see in this last parenthetical. Judgment upon this earth, spiritually and physically. Now verse 4 says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. Now first thing I want you to know, notice it says the word plagues here. So what's it probably referring to? Well, as I mentioned, as the earth was illuminated after that fifth plague, when it was darkened, right? It speaks of that fifth bowl judgment. But notice it says plagues here. in verse 4, lest you receive over plagues. Now, the bowls of judgment are referred to as plagues. If you go with me back to Revelation chapter 15, verse 1, it highlights that. Chapter 15, verse 1 says, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the what? Seven last plagues. The seven bowls are referred to as seven plagues. And so, as I mentioned, Revelation 18, this is what is referred to in Revelation 14, verses 14 through 16, as that harvest of the grain, right? The judgment of the grain harvest, the reaping of the grain. And that's the bowls of judgment, these plagues. And so Revelation 18 is giving us insight, details into that harvest of judgment. This is not the grape harvest. This is the grain harvest, which is speaking to the bowls of judgment, which is referred to as plagues. Notice in verse 8 of chapter 18, therefore her plagues will come in one day. Okay, so notice the reference to plagues here. Now, want to also note to you in verse 4, it says, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. Come out of her. And so I want you to note this as well, that God is still beckoning people to come out and repent. Come out of it. Now note this, that this is at the end here. This is in the bowls of judgment. It could be the last day before Jesus returns. It could be, if you take a day literally in our text that we're going to come to in a little bit, that these seven bowls of judgment could happen in a day if you take that literally. And so when you think about it, they're right at the end. And notice he's still beckoning them to come out of it, to repent. And it speaks of God's mercy. God's mercy is going to go to the time he returns. And we know to this, right? When does God's mercy come to an end? It's when that last person repents, is predestined to repent. And we know to that. It's not so much a function, or not so much dependent on a day or a time or an hour. It's dependent more on when that last person that's predestined to come to the Lord does come. And then the end will come. And so notice he's calling her to come out. Come out of the world, right? To be set apart, lest you share in her sins. And so it speaks of God's mercy. You know, when I was reading this, I couldn't help but think about the account of Lot. Remember when Lot was called out? It's the same type of description. Come out. And when did Lot come out? It's right at the end there. Remember the cry of Sodom was so loud that God had to send, right? Send the angels there to judge that city. But what happened before he judged that city? He pulled out the righteous, right? Now, there wasn't too many righteous when you think about it. Remember he said, Lot, take your family, right? And get them out of there because I'm going to judge this city. And so Lot gets his family. Remember his daughter's there? They have husbands, but the husband said, hey, you know what? I'm going to kind of stay here. I don't think it's going to come. And they stay there and they're judged. But remember when Lot, he starts to flee with his wife and his daughters? What happens? His wife turns back. She turns into a pillar of salt. And what happens to his daughter? They still have Sodom in them, don't they? Remember the sin that they exercised with their father? And even Lot still had a lot of Sodom in there. And all that to me, to say that, you know, God wants to pull us out of that. And even here, he says, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins. So they're right at the end there. Not too many more are going to repent, but the sense is that there's still a few more. And he says, come out, that you won't be judged. So God's heart, right, to be set apart. God's mercy is still going forth, even in this time, right at the end. Verse 5, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. It reminds me, right? The outcry of Sodom was so loud that judgment had to come. It's the same. It's the same sense here, that the outcry of this earth, spiritual Babylon and physical Babylon, right? Judgment is coming because the cry of sin is so loud. There's no more that are going to repent. They're almost at the end. And when there's no more that's going to repent, that's when judgment's going to occur. Now, verse 6, render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works in the cup which she has mixed double for. So I want you to note this, right? The amount of the sin of these that remain on the earth, there's going to be double the amount of judgment. There's going to be accountability to the nth degree. That's the warning. Now, verse 7, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment. Now, this word torment, if you look this up, In the Concordance, it literally means torture. In the measure that she glorified herself, he's speaking of the world and those that choose to remain separated from God and united with his word. He says, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure, give her torment. So the amount of sin that they choose to live in, right? Judgment is going to go a double portion of that. And there's going to be torture, torment. It speaks of Gehenna ultimately. That's where they're going to be cast. Torment, right? Eternal torment. It's eternal torture. They're going to receive an eternal body, right? A physical body to be cast into Gehenna where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Notice it says, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. I couldn't help but think of some of the wicked women in the Bible. I sit as queen. I think of Semiramis. Again, it's not in the Bible, but that's through extra biblical sources. That's Nimrod's wife. She's really the center, right? Where a lot of these false mystery religion has come into this world. But remember Jezebel. Couldn't help but think about Jezebel too. Remember when Jezebel, when she was judged, finally was put to death? Remember when she did something? She painted her eyes. It's almost like she prepared for it. I mean, so lost, so dark. I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Verse 8, therefore her plagues, I want you to know, the plagues, her plagues. Again, the seven bowls of judgment are referred to as plagues. I believe Revelation 18 is specifically talking about or giving us insight into the bowls of judgment. This is how Babylon is finally judged through these bowls of judgment, right? Therefore, her plagues will come in one day. Now, the question we have to ask is, does this literally mean a day? It could, when you think about it. Because remember we noted this. Remember that judgment on the waters? All the waters turned to blood? It speaks of drinking water. How long do you think mankind can survive without water? It's right after the judgment of all the sea animals, right? Every sea animal in the ocean, right, in the seas will die. How long do you think man can survive? Could be only a day. You know, it could be the bowls of judgment come in one day. Could be. I'm not sure. Could be an idiom that means just very, very short, one day. But it could be a day. Notice it says, therefore her plagues will come in one day. The plagues, I believe that these are the seven bowls. So it could either mean a very short time it's going to happen, or a literal one day. Death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges. So this judgment with the seven bowls, right, these plagues, it's going to be very powerful and very fast, perhaps even in one day.
Thanks again for joining us in our podcast of Calvary Chapel Echo Park. We hope and pray that you have been blessed by the teaching and join us again as we continue to study the Word of God. Once again, you can always visit us on our homepage at ccechopart.com for more information and teachings from Pastor David. To God be the glory.